John, today is Communion Sunday, but I do have some things that I want to share with you, and I brought an envelope today to remind me of a quick announcement. We have people who mail us offerings, tithes, and if you're doing that, please remember that our P.O. Box is 16577, 16577. Because we got someone who sent us one, and the postmaster wrote, give sender your correct box number. So sender, it is P.O. Box 16577. Because we don't want the song that Elvis wrote, return to sender, stamped. All right, John chapter 1, that is page 862 in your pew Bible. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 29. That is page 862 in your pew Bible. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read God's Word together. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29, page 862 in your pew Bible. Let's read God's Word together. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, it is easy to understand how the Jewish people might have missed the Messiah. They were under a cruel Roman occupation and domination. In fact, if you read back through the history of the Jewish people, they had been dominated by every major world power that arose. They were dominated by the Babylonians, by the Medes and the Persians, by the Greeks, by the Assyrians, and now by the Romans. They have only known being dominated and oppressed for hundreds of years, and they are longing for a deliverer. They are longing for someone who is going to come and bring vengeance upon their oppressors, someone who is going to punish the Romans, someone who is going to take revenge on the Romans for the suffering of the Jewish people, drive them out of the nation of Israel, seat himself on the throne of David, and reestablish the monarchy. They're not looking for someone coming preaching mercy, grace, and love. They're not looking for someone who is preaching, if you're struck on one cheek, turn the other also. Or if your enemy asks for your coat, not only give him your coat, but give him your cloak as well. They are looking for someone who is going to destroy their enemies. They're looking for the Lion of God. And instead, Jesus comes. Jesus comes preaching a message unlike any they had heard before. Jesus comes and heals the lepers. Jesus comes and talks to a woman of Samaria. Jesus comes and heals a Roman centurion's servant. Jesus comes with a message to all mankind, not just to the Jews. So for the next several first Sundays, I want to talk about from this passage of Scripture where John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And today I'd like to begin by sharing with you that he was a simple lamb. He was God's son. The Scripture describes him, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, To us a son is given. And now listen to the next part. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, John writes, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, the angel declares to Mary, He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. All the prophetic attributes given to Jesus were of one who was going to come as a ruler, one who was going to come as a dominant force, one who was going to come in the power of God's name, and the government would be on his shoulder, and he would be mighty and powerful, a deliverer. He would be the one, the creative God, the one who would be called great and the Son of the Most High. And that is who they were looking for. They could look at the prophecies and say, this is who is coming. This is how he will be known. This is how we will be able to distinguish that this truly is the Son of God, because he's going to come in the power and the might of his Father. But even though Jesus was God's Son, he humbled himself. In fact, he humbled himself to the degree of being born in a manger, raised in the home of a carpenter, someone who would begin his ministry at the age of 30 with only 12 followers. He would be rejected by his family and by his friends. The religious leaders of his day would plot to kill him. He would be betrayed by one of his own disciples and denied by another. He would be mocked, spat upon, stripped, beaten, and forced to carry his own cross. He would be crucified between two thieves, and he would be buried in a borrowed tomb. He would be that humble that he would give up all the glory and the majesty and the power of heaven. He would give up the throne of God and would replace it with a manger in Bethlehem. He would give up sitting by the right hand of God, would give all of that up in order to be crucified between two thieves. He would give up hearing the angels ascribe to him glory and honor and praise and declare his holiness in order to hear the crowds cry out, crucify him, crucify him. He would humble himself like no one had ever humbled himself before. Isaiah 53 tells us this about this Lamb of God, beginning in verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He did not ask for mercy. He did not ask for grace. He did not ask for compassion. He did not ask for them to not beat him so severely. He did not ask them to please forfeit some of the inhumane treatment they wanted to give him. He didn't say a word. He endured all of that as the Lamb of God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The English poet William Mason wrote this, and I quote, To continually behold the Lamb of God is life to our souls and death to our sins. I've wondered this week, if Jesus had come as a lion, if he had come in the way in which the Jewish people thought he would come, How would he have reacted when he sat by Jacob's well and here comes the woman who's been married 5 times and is living with a man at the time in fornication? How would a lion have reacted to that? A lion would have taken her by the shoulders and shaken her and said, "Woman, what's wrong with you? Why do you keep making these same stupid mistakes? Why are you looking for your identity in another man after another man after another man?" That's how a lion would react. But a lamb would say, "If you drink the water that I offer you, you'll never be thirsty again." How would a lion react when a Roman centurion came and knelt down before him and said, "If you'll just speak the word, my servant who is at the point of death will live"? How would a lion have reacted? A lion would have said, "What? You're a Roman centurion? You're oppressing my people? You're taxing my people? You're dominating my people? You're subjecting my people to untold agony and horror? You want me to do something for you? No way." That's how a lion would react. How would a lion react to a woman who comes, the Bible simply calls her a woman of sin, who comes and falls down at his feet and begins to wash his feet with her tears and to dry him, those feet with her hair? How would a lion have reacted to that? A lion would have said, "Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't put your hands on me." How would a lion react to a leper? How would a lion react to one of his disciples who is beginning to drown and who just simply says, "Lord, save me"? How would a lion have reacted to that? A lion would have said, "You know what? You're getting exactly what you deserve. You don't have any faith in me. You want me to save you?" How would a lion react in the upper room when 12 disciples are looking at one another, wondering which one of them are going to wash their feet? How would a lion have reacted to that situation? A lion would have chastised them, would have berated them. You see, it's really good that the Jews did not get what they asked for. And the same is true for you and for me. It's good that I did not receive what I should have gotten. It's good I did not receive what my sins demanded. It's good I did not receive judgment. It's good I didn't receive condemnation. It's good that I didn't receive the punishment that I deserved. But I received grace, and I received mercy, and I received patience. And I received the long-suffering nature of God and the goodness of God rather than the judgment of God. No, he came as a lamb. And if he had not come as a lamb, if he had come as the lion, none of us would have any hope. Our hope is in the Lamb of God who takes away, as John said, the sin of the world. Why would the Son of God, be willing to come as the Lamb of God, to suffer for my sins, to suffer for your sins, to pay the price that was demanded by the justice of God? Well, John tells us in a passage of Scripture we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." One day, the Scripture tells us, he will return as the Lion of God. But I am so grateful today that when He came to earth, He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, let us be reminded today that He came as the Lamb of God, not just to take away the sins of the world, their sins, their mistakes, their deficiencies, their failures, but He came to take away your sins and my sins, the sins that I've committed. He came to take those away as well. Lord, we deserve the lion. We deserved judgment. We deserved the forfeiture of life. We deserved punishment for our sins that began in the Garden of Eden and run through today, August 1, 2021. Lord, but I'm grateful that You did not give us what we deserved. You gave us what we did not deserve. You laid upon Your Son what we deserved, and You gave us what we did not deserve. You laid upon Your Son what we had earned through our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions, and You laid upon us the forgiveness that we did not deserve. You laid on Him judgment. You laid on us grace. You laid on Him punishment. You laid on us mercy. You laid on Him death, and You laid on us life. And for that, Lord, we are grateful. Thank You that we too can say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who not only takes away the sin of the world, but who takes away the sin of Rodney and of Sherry and of everyone in this building today, if we'll only say, 'Jesus, take my sins.'" We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.